Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 355, The New Talk, live from Park City, Utah, right? It's in Utah. Where am I? Am I in Idaho or Utah? I guess it's Utah, sorry. And I was in Salt Lake City today. This has been a trying day, and I wanted to do some updates, just some straight-up news updates, some good things that have happened. I decided to go to Walmart and buy some runners, so it kind of deadens the sound in here a little bit. Had the engine running for quite a while and heated up the back end of this thing so it's toasty warm. The plan was to stop near a Starbucks and use the internet from the Starbucks, so in the midst of just kind of getting ready, getting everything all lined up and ready to go, I look over and I'm like, why am I not on the internet? What's going on here? And I find out the Starbucks itself is closed. The only reason I came by here was to get a cup of coffee and to use the internet. And of course, now you can hear the coffee maker in the distance. I'm making some coffee. It's in the corner over here. Because I'm going to have to make my own Starbucks coffee for this podcast, and then I don't know where I'm going to go. I guess I'll go over to McDonald's or hit a McDonald's on the way to upload. So there's lots of issues today. The other thing that happened today that just really upset me was I was in Salt Lake City, I went to yoga, and I was looking for a place to eat and pulled into a mall parking lot and hit one of those giant hanging things that's supposed to prevent things from being larger than they are, that are larger than allowed from entering. And that really upset me. Not too much damage, but that's actually my first real faux pas when it comes to driving the ambulance. So this is one of those days where second night in a row coming out of California, sleeping in the ambulance. And I went to do the yoga and just, it was like, you know what? You're tired. And when you're tired and hungry, you make bad decisions. So I kind of had to reset, and I've been hanging around this part of Salt Lake City, Park City, for the last few hours because I took a nap and I went to Walmart and I got myself a salad at Whole Foods. I'm in this weird development that's really hard to find the places that you thought were there when you came through the first time. So it's kind of one of these, it's kind of like the thing in Maplewood, you know, where the, or is that Maple Grove, where they have the fake town, right? Except it's Park City. It's right by the Olympic ski jumps, if you'll recall, when they had the Olympics at Park City. And this mall is like, I don't know what you call it, this little town thing. It's full of roundabouts and the usual. So it's just been one thing after another. So I'm going to sit here, have a cup of coffee, and do a podcast. So first, I think it's, I'm going to let that finish up, and then we'll get to it. But I should tell you, it may be cold here in Park City. It's like 35 out there, but it is warm in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'm getting a lot of email and messages on Facebook from people saying, oh, it's warm here. Well, it was really warm in California and fabulous in California, but it's been running out of Nevada today and into Utah, and I do have a lot to report along those fronts. It's definitely cold up here in the mountains, but it is beautiful in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's been above 70 already, and many people thought it would never happen. We never do at the beginning of winter. You know, we get all the way through winter, and we never think that it will get above 70. But then people start complaining about the heat. It doesn't take too long. Listen to that thing. My God. People don't take too long to start complaining about the heat, which is why I want to tell you about getting your AC checked by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. If you haven't turned it on yet, do you know if it's going to work? The filters are really important. In some cases, the outdoor coils have to be sprayed down and cleaned. And in most cases, it has to be 70 degrees, as I said before, or more for Ryan Plumbing and Heating to properly check the AC in your home or business. And then, of course, you may still have some issues left over from the cold, which seems like yesterday. Of course, it's cold here, and you're going to want to get them addressed before fall and winter. And we only have a short window to do that. And that is where Ryan Plumbing and Heating comes in. First of all, it's construction season, and you might want to ask Ryan Plumbing about in-floor heating as well. Here's the deal. They also do great emergency service, but when you have plumbing or heating problems, especially the emergency problems, AC issues, you want reliable service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, the number 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. And yes, they go to the suburbs. I get that question all the time. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol where they've always been. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul when you have emergency problems. 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul for over 60 years. If you're doing some remodeling, be sure that you ask them about in-floor heat, which I am definitely going to get if I ever remodel anything besides the ambulance. All right, I got to get the coffee and turn this thing off. So let me just get over there. It's going to be a little dicey, but I'm just going to let it roll while I do this because it's kind of fun. A lot of wires over here. See, what I always do is turn the pot off because I don't want the coffee to burn in there, and it always does. And of course, this is a really cheap little coffee maker, but it gets the job done. The other thing I found at Walmart is a little clip light, because when I just have the electricity on, when I just have the inverter on in here, I don't have lights, so I have to use electricity. I have to use electricity to keep if the engine's not running, I'm running on the inverter, which is running on that second battery. I have two batteries in this thing. So I want to record the podcast quickly and not mess around too much because I don't want to run the batteries down. As I said before, I think I did another podcast where I said, this is like a submarine when you're running on, you shut the diesels down and run on battery power. You only have so many hours to run silent, run deep. So that is what is going on today. Okay, so a couple of things I want to talk about. Actually, not a lot of things, but I do want to thank a couple of people very quickly. I got to get this off the printer because this is mind-blowing. First of all, Jeffrey Baruch, B-R-U-C-H, sent me a fantastic note, just a great note about his road trips and things of that nature as he caught up on podcasts going all the way back, I think, to Summer Sounds, and that was fantastic. The other thing is, you know, the podcast I did about Santa Barbara and California, this is from Lori, who sent me $250, and I just couldn't believe that, from Santa Barbara, $150 for gas, $100 for steak dinner, and I was like, well, I'll get a salad, thank you so much, and I got a message from her. First of all, I sent her an email and said thank you, and then she sent me a message this morning that said, well, pure disclosure, you know, truthful disclosure, full disclosure, whatever you want to call it, I actually am from Minnesota, but I'm out here in Santa Barbara for the year, and I listen to the podcasts when I'm walking down the beach. So hopefully, Lori, there'll be some other people that will be aware of the Bob Davis podcast, since I drove through town with my giant diesel rattling the windows, and people were looking up and checking out the podcast, Ambulance, the mobile podcast command unit. So I wanted to do some updates, because the Travelog podcasts are a different kind of energy, and they don't lead well into doing updates, especially on the political stuff. And of course, you know, I'm not letting go of the political stuff. So just to let you know where I've been. So the last podcast, I was leaving California. So the last place that I visited, the second to the last place I slept was a place called Nevada City, California, which if you ever do go to California, I strongly encourage you to take that route. It's 29 to 20, California 29 to 20. These are two-lane roads up through the mountains, and eventually you'll come to a place called Nevada City, and it is a town that they built in the 1850s during the Gold Rush, and it is beautiful. It's like Stillwater on steroids. Here we have another fabulous town. Everything is perfect. I ate in a diner. I actually parked on a residential street and crashed in the van. And I, I have a new tool. I have a new method. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to. Before, my friend Steve Steiner's been saying, you've got to get a portable toilet from Walmart, because it will, then if you're sleeping and you have to go, you know, to the bathroom, you can use it. And I'm scoffing at that. Like, I'm not getting a port. This isn't an RV. I'm not going to do that. So I've been parking so that all I have to do is get up and open up the back door, and then I can pee out the back door in the middle of the night. That was pretty great. But so it's a beautiful town called Nevada City. Then I came across into this morning. Was that today? I don't even know. Oh, I guess I stopped last night somewhere inside Nevada at a casino. And parked and went inside and, you know, printed all my stuff up and went inside to the casino and had, you know, a salad. And the only reason I went to that casino was because it was called the Red Lion Casino. I can't remember where it was. Elko, Nevada. And I went there because they supposedly had this great buffet, but I got in too late and the buffet was closed, so I had a chef salad. Read everything, came back, and went to sleep. And it wasn't too cold, but it was cold enough that it was, problematic. So I'm going to have to go to Walmart and buy one of those toilets for sure, so I don't have to do pee out the back window. Or not the window, I open the back doors. But anyway, I thought I'd just let everybody know. Maybe that's too much information. But then I came across, all the way across Nevada today, into Utah, and of course the Bonneville Salt Flats, which is the podcast art for this particular podcast. It was amazing. A whole bunch of different climates, and now I'm probably about 6,000 feet up in Park City, and I don't know where I'm going tonight. I'm just, I'm on the road to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'll probably drive for a while and then crash, but I wanted to do, you know, these travelogue podcasts are not real good for giving people an idea of what's going on in the world. Politically, the two energies kind of don't match. There's some things that I can say here and there, but my experience has been, it kind of ruins the party when you're talking about all these great places and different places to visit. I went to Reno, by the way. I visited Reno as well. And I mean, it's just a lot of casinos. It struck me as being very casino-y, literally a tiny Las Vegas. It's a lot bigger than it was the last time I was in Reno. I think when I was in Reno last, it was years and years and years and years ago for what used to be called the NRBA. This is the National Something Broadcasters Association. And there were like two casinos, and we stayed in a hotel and we had the NRBA convention there. And I don't think I ever went to the convention. I don't know what we pretty much sat in the bar the whole time. So this time there was a lot more bars to sit in and places. And I mentioned that everything out west seems great. And I have to tell you, I drove through I would suppose it's the east side of Reno coming out. And the thing about it is, when you have that many casinos, you also have a lot of down on your luck people. And it was as bad as any other place that I visited that has a real problem. A lot of broken people standing around in street corners, a lot of boarded up places. That type of thing. So I wasn't too taken with Reno, and I was really looking forward to Reno because I've always had this thing about Reno. So Reno has been scratched off the list as far as I'm concerned. So now I'm in beautiful Park City. Anyway, so yeah, the travel log energy doesn't match with the political stuff. So this one, I'm just going to talk about the political stuff because I have enough that my blood is rising again. And I'm going to start by saying what I have said and said and said, that we now have had a number of people announcing their candidacy for president. So three, right? We had Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, and Hillary Clinton. So we now have four candidates who have announced that they're running for president. And already the coverage is getting to be too much. This whole thing with Hillary Clinton going in a van to Iowa is so silly. I read today, there's nothing new about it. She did it when she ran for the Senate. And now Drudge is like, everything she does is a huge Drudge headline. She went to the airport and carried her own bags. Then you read, you have to go to the British press, actually, to find a story that is in any way really critical of Clinton. And this one is a story about how the campaign staff for a stop in LeClaire, Iowa, which I think I'm going to go right through, actually, on the way back, had went and found operatives, you know, political operatives, to sit with the secretary, the former first lady and former senator of New York, not the president, and certainly not the inevitable president, and certainly not the inevitable candidate. But it is so early when it comes to talking about Rubio's tax plan or Rand Paul's discussion of the IRS or Ted Cruz's statements. It is so early in this thing. I think it's very, very unfortunate that there's so much coverage. You know, if you walk it, you walk into some of these places, a Love's truck stop here and there, and you know they've got CNN or Fox News up. And the thing about it is, this is the thing I was thinking about today. You know, the thing about 24-hour continuous media is people do not realize that you can turn the valve off. You know, the valve is always on, and when it's always on, it literally drives you crazy. And so we're creating the storyline now that we have this presidential election going on, and we just finished a presidential election. The presidential election doesn't start until, January of 2016, and that's too early, because the real election is something that takes place really after the conventions are held and the candidate, the official candidates for both parties and third-party candidates, libertarians and everything else, have been nominated and are actually out there campaigning to get votes. Right now, they're campaigning for support, they're campaigning for people to give them money, and they're campaigning to get you to pay attention to them so that they can win a primary in Iowa or some other state. You know that I do not like the Iowa primary. I don't like these early primaries. I think it's a mistake because I think it forces a presidential election cycle on people too early so that when the election finally comes, we have simply worn out any and all themes. There's nothing. By the time these guys start running, there's little fresh to talk about because all of the fireworks has taken place during the primary season and during the year before. It's April of 2015, and they won't give it a rest because for the media, whether it's online, whether it's digital, whether it's cable television, or broadcast television or talk radio, the valve is always on. They never turn the valve off. Half of the reason for this trip and these trips is to get out and just observe people and not be political and give you something that isn't political and talk about things that aren't necessarily political because people need a rest from this, And I guess the thing that I would say is you do have the ability to turn the valve off. You have two people that just sent me messages, Jeffrey and Lori, who listen to podcasts when they just catch up. They listen to three or four at a time when they're walking or whatever. That's a good way to do it, whether it's this podcast or another one that you really like. You know, the idea is that you turn the valve off every now and then because it will drive you crazy. And, you know, I really haven't been thinking too much about political stuff. I've been thinking a lot about social stuff. I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the biggest problem that I have right now is reconciling the problems that I know exist in California in terms of high taxes and regulation and people and businesses moving out of the state with the fact that there are so many amazing, perfect places in California, whether you're talking about Sonoma, Napa, you know, parts of Los Angeles, San Francisco, Nevada City, that place where I did Bikram in the middle of nowhere. Everywhere you go in California, it's like a five-star resort. And it's hard to reconcile seeing happy people, seeing beautiful people, seeing perfect towns and villages and places with, the political stuff. Now, I know that the problems exist. I know that California's water problems, for example, are due primarily to mismanagement by the environmentalists, not really updating the infrastructure, not to mention the fact that it has come to my attention that California, in order to protect the smelt, which I don't know what smelt do, is dumping billions of gallons of fresh water into San Francisco Bay every year. So there's plenty of fresh water, apparently. It's just that it's being mismanaged. You know, it's hard to reconcile true perfection in the state when you see the towns and the villages with what you know is going on in terms of government. And I suppose that would be true if you went to Stillwater on a beautiful Sunday afternoon in late August or early September, you might have the same reaction. How can you say that things are, such and such in Minnesota? But if you look at the reality of how much we're spending and the taxation and what's going on across the river in Wisconsin and everything else, you might have a different reaction. So, that's what I'm trying to reconcile. And I'm in all these different places. And let me tell you, You know, the country is not falling apart. You know, the only thing that I would say bothers me is out west, you see and hear a lot of people speaking Spanish. You see a lot of people who are obviously not from America. They're from Central America or places like that. And then again, in California, as I mentioned in one of my podcasts, you know, there are people out there who are, as they call them, Californios, who were residents of California before the United States actually existed and before the United States you know, made California a state. So it's an interesting place, but, you know, there's new development and new towns and villages and beautiful places almost everywhere that you go. Even the bad places, people are getting by, and you're seeing people. I mean, if these people that are down on their luck got money to go to the casinos in Reno or any of these other casinos that are just dotting the landscape all the way up to the Utah border, and there's casinos in Utah as well. I mean, it's very interesting because Love's, which is a truck stop, has casinos in Nevada. So they're everywhere. You know, if people have money to go to casinos, I guess they're doing okay. And I guess what I'm saying is, if you listen to people who hate the president, and there are many, and I'm not defending him, I think he's a bad president. And thank you. I should say you're welcome to Marco Rubio, because I said years ago that the problem with Barack Obama is, at first I started saying, you know, he may just be a bad president. And I don't think he's a very good president. And I think if people landing helicopters on the Capitol lawn are any indication, and the morale of the you know, Secret Service and the morale of the military and the morale of the services that the president is in fact directly responsible for suggests that he is in fact a bad president. And if we're lucky, we will get through the next 12 to 15 months without some horrible tragedy occurring. You know, if we're unlucky, and unlucky things happen, I ran into something today and punched a hole in the top of my vehicle, and I have to go up there after this podcast and patch it with something. Bad things happen, and you have to address them. But, you know, competency is an important issue. So I guess I want to say, for the people that are just worried, the country is adapt. The key thing here is, and I'm going to talk about this when I do the thing at Chanhassen for SD48 on April 25th, which is coming up, and I better get back soon because I don't want to miss that. And by the way, go to SD48MinGOP.com if you want to find out what they're doing. I'll put a link up. You can find out what the whole plan is for the evening. But anyway, where was I? Let me take a sip of coffee. What was I talking about? Oh, you know, I think one of the things I'm going to talk about, because technology is a huge piece of this, is adaptation. Citizens will adapt to the issues and problems that they have, you know, and I got to give Sonny a big ups, because Sonny Lohman said, yeah, people adapted in the Soviet Union, but I really didn't mean it that way. What I meant was that it seems like the country, in spite of a moribund economy, in spite of a bad president, in spite of the uphill battle that we seem to be fighting just day to day, it seems like things are, you know, people seem to be adapting. I don't see bread lines. I don't see, you know, I don't see as much boarded up space as I did in 2009. Let's put it that way. So we seem to be adapting to what's going on. And I don't know. I guess that's one of the things I want to talk about from my trip, is that I see a lot of adaptation, and I don't think the country's falling apart. I think all the country needs is some more focused legislation, and in terms of repealing and getting the government out of people's lives, reducing the regulatory state, reducing the police state, and making it easier and lowering taxes so that people can do what they do. And I think people say, well, you're just one of those low tax guys. You know, this is tax day. You're just one of those low tax guys. I think the tax burden, especially when you look at the cost of taxation in this country, just overall, the opportunity cost of actually putting together the tax returns and all of the things associated with taxation and the costs and all the taxation. I think taxes are high. I think we're at a high point for taxes, even though they tell you it's low, but they don't add up all the taxes. They don't add up local taxes and state taxes and sales taxes and fees and things of that nature. The more government does, the more it's going to cost. And I think that's one of the chief things that has to be done is we have to look at the efficiency of the government, and we have to look at the and we have to look at the spending of the government. But the thing that I was talking about in terms of morale, my favorite story of the last 2 days is this is hilarious. So I'm just going to read this. With the Secret Service still smarting from its 2012 prostitution scandal in Cartagena, Colombia, another federal law agency is in hot water over even more salacious sex scandals in the same country. The administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration, Michelle Leonhart, Tuesday faced a grueling three-hour inquisition from the House Oversight Committee over an inspector general's report that found DEA agents in Bogota, Colombia, engaged in sex parties with prostitutes, and that these parties were paid for by the very drug court cartels the DEA was sent to fight. And Leonhart said, quote, "This behavior is not acceptable." And here's the kicker. Unfortunately, the civil service rules, don't allow them to be fired or to be disciplined in any way, apparently. And the panel that she was testifying in front of just couldn't believe it. They just were like, what? This defies common sense. Yes. And for all these people that claim that government is efficient, this is the kind of thing. If you can't fire a DEA agent for going to a cartel-funded orgy, then how are you going to fire an IRS agent, or fire some agent of the Treasury Department, or fire somebody who works for one of the lower agencies for basic incompetence. And the whole point of it, as they hire more and more and more, they don't get rid of them. And this is one of the reasons that it's very expensive. You cannot tell me that our government, our federal governments and our state governments, are efficient in any way. They may get the job done at some point, but I just find it unbelievable that anyone would suggest that the government is efficient. I think someone suggested at the New Republic or something that who was the senator that had the biggest waste? I think it's Inhofe, but it might be somebody else that has the biggest waste award. It's a sort of a derivative of the Golden Fleece that that we have for years and years and years. This article said, well, actually, if you look at the report, it proves the government is efficient. Because, and I don't even want to know. I read that and I was like, I don't even want to know. I don't care. I don't even want to know. And the thing is the American tax revolt over? I mean, we had thousands of people at the Minnesota State Capitol years ago for the tax revolt protests. I saw a tweet that somebody went to one of the Rochester Tea Party meetings and took a picture and said, boy, there's a lot of people here. There were like 14 people there. I mean, there weren't a lot of people there. Certainly not the thousands that showed up for those anti-tax rallies just a few years ago. They are saying that actually, here it is. Historically, the income tax burden isn't high. This is just the federal income tax. But that's because people in the lower rungs and the middle class aren't paying much tax. The people who are in the top 1% are paying as much as 88% of their income. So you can understand why they might try to figure out ways to avoid paying taxes. Even the Rolling Stones and U2, and in particular the Rolling Stones, is a great story because, you know, they left England in I think it was 1976 or something, when they did Exile on Main Street, to avoid paying taxes because they were being taxed at a 90% rate and they had no money. So they moved to France to get away from the taxation issue and reincorporated and reorganized the Rolling Stone as a company. And the same thing is true with U2. They reincorporated in the Netherlands to avoid taxation in the United Kingdom. So, you know, I don't know if people are still as upset about taxes. I think they're upset about other stuff. But as I said, there's a feeling that when you're out here and you see people, there's a sense that an adaptation is occurring. People are adapting to what is going on. They're adapting to the public-private partnerships. They're adapting to higher taxation in some way, shape, or form, and it's scary. I think the biggest problem with Republicans in this time frame is going to be getting across the need for tax reform, the need for regulatory reform, the need for size reform in terms of the federal government, and to push that concept down to the states. You know, obviously, Scott Walker can talk about how that gets done in a state that's unionized, but I'm not sure people are that fired up about it anymore. So, and if they get fatigued because we're covering the election too much, then on election day, who knows what can happen if people are just tired and they don't show up to vote. So those are some thoughts on the political front. Then I found one quick story. If fishermen aren't killing each other on the St. Croix, and if the police aren't shooting people with knives, I suppose you have to. I mean, somebody asked me, hey, what happens? Why would they shoot somebody with a knife? And I have to remind everyone, you know, a person with a knife can kill a police officer before that person can draw their weapon. That's been demonstrated many times. That's one of the first things that they do at some of these carry permit classes is show you what happens if somebody pulls a knife on you and they're too close. They will kill you before you can even get your gun out and up and shooting it. So the police consider knives, you know, dangerous, and people need to be aware that police, notwithstanding shooting people in the back and shooting people when they're on the ground by accident, notwithstanding mistakes, police are trained to be defensive. They want to go home. And, you know, if you run afoul of the law, the best thing you can do is yes or no, sir, and don't resist, because you're going to put yourself in a situation where you don't want to be. And so aside from those horrible things that are going on in Minnesota, the Minneapolis Park is parks. What do you call it? The Park Board. I want to call it the Park Board. I guess it is the Park and Recreation Board is considering repealing the bike path speed limit in Minneapolis. Now, let me tell you something. There used to be a guy that used to call KSTP all the time, and he would go, "Let me tell you something, my friend." That's the way he sounded. There are, on any given Saturday morning, there are clouds of bike thugs wearing their bike togs, their little shorts and their shoes that click into the pedals on their bikes, and their special hats and their special helmets and their special, you know, communications gear, so they can talk to the other horde of bike thugs that they're riding with, riding way too fast in the parks. And I would be hard-pressed to see a police officer giving them a ticket for it. People violate that. You're supposed to only go 10 miles an hour in the parks. People go way over that all the time. So I just wanted to point that out. I couldn't resist. I guess I'm getting homesick, so I should have mentioned that. All right. Thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 355. Remember, when you have an emergency, think Ryan Plumbing, because reliable service. They've been in St. Paul for four generations. These guys know how to fix stuff. And if you ever had a plumbing problem, when it happens, it's kind of like a surprise, so you don't know who to call. Just remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771, 612-927-6488 in Minneapolis. They are Metro wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, for over 60 years. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. I'm going to put this down. Get ready. I put that down on the floor. Got to thank Mad K Studios, specializing in quality original automotive artwork. Mad K Studios is going to be out at a bunch of these antique car shows, and the big one, of course, over at the State Fairgrounds, and I'll give you more information about that when the time comes. And as usual, I got to thank you guys for donating and listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. Absolutely. Thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm posting some additional pictures on Instagram at bdavis7843. I'm taking video. I have a special camera, and I'm taking some video, which I'll figure out how to post that later. So looking forward to doing that probably when I get home. And I really want to thank people for donating at thebobdavispodcast.com. There's a secure donation site. You can donate a dollar. You can donate $100. You can donate $250. I'll take it. I'll take whatever you want to donate. It is definitely keeping me in Komodo Dragon coffee and diesel fuel, which we need to run. And I just want to say, as we get closer into election season 2016, you know, this whole thing was about shaking this down. I'm learning a lot of lessons about this vehicle and how it works and what you can do with it. And, you know, it's a mobile studio, literally. And obviously, it's problematic in some other areas. It's not an RV. I wouldn't say that it's comfortable. It's comfortable for me because I'm comfortable pretty much anywhere. I sleep on the floor. I've got to make some improvements. I got these two runners, which really is going to help in here. I got my little clip light, which is great because I can just leave that on when I turn everything else off. But, you know, driving this thing, it's gigantic, is funny. I was pulled into a truck stop today and some kid goes, I was taking a nap and I heard some kid go, "The Bob Davis Podcasts. Hey, Mom, why do they need such a gigundo vehicle to do the podcasts?" And the parents didn't know. And I laughed because I was like, you know, you're so right, because today I ran into that thing. I'm really pissed off about that. But it's fixable. These things, we'll get them fixed and it's okay. But it's just, there's a lot of pieces to this thing that are really interesting in terms of learning how to use this. But the plan is to hit the road and cover some of these great stories that are going to be coming out in 2016 on the ground in Iowa and Wisconsin and Florida and Illinois and Michigan, where some of these early primaries are, I can't wait to see the media in action, because that's really what I'm looking forward to, is being able to pull up in my truck, go in, see the media in action, and really report on the media and what they're doing at these things, and really talk about what they're actually like. I'm looking forward to that. So in order to do that, I'm going to need donations. As soon as I get home, it's basically, this thing is parked somewhere for RV parking, and we wait for donations to build up so that we can use them to cover the elections on 2016. And to that end, I'm also looking for sponsors for the Bob Davis Podcast Mobile Unit. Send me an email if you're interested, because that's another way to monetize this. So, and I'll be making some more announcements in the near future about what we're doing, and I'm pretty excited about two things that I'm going to be doing. So stay tuned to the podcasts. These are not big announcements like the podcast mobile command unit, but they're also just important podcasts. I wouldn't be able to do it without your donations, and I really appreciate the help. Thanks for listening on Stitcher, iTunes, and TuneIn, as I said, and thanks for telling your friends and sharing and all that cool stuff. Back on the road from Park City. That's where I had to think about it. I'm in Park City, Utah, at the very foot of the ski jump that they had for the Olympics here. When did they have the Olympics in Park City? It was like 100 years ago, right? They're going to be in Cuba. The Winter Olympics are going to be in Cuba next. They'll be in Iran if Obama has his way. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts.